Well, folks, welcome to one more edition of Politics and Right. I'm Egberto Willis, your host. Thank you so kindly for being a part of the show. We are going to have a great show for you as usual. Folks, we are going to have a great show. We got an interview to start because it's voting time here in Harris County. What our county clerk is going to talk about in this interview is pretty much goes for every county across the country. A lot of shenanigans goes on, making sure that voting is not consistent, etc. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But before we get started, buenos dias, how are you doing? Melanie Keelan is in the house. We also have Norman Reynolds. Again, he is live. He says, hi, everyone. Great. Another chance to listen live. You go, Norman. AVQ is in the house. Brooklyn, New York. Norman is Houston, Texas. Melanie Keelan is Barcelona, Spain. Yvette Avery Herod is Atlanta, Georgia. And we also have in the house Eric Hayes from Atascocita, Kingwood. Paul Fleming from Atlanta, Georgia. We're starting to fill up. Already on Twitter as well. Anyway, folks, how are my peeps doing? I trust you're all right. I tell you what, folks, I want to start with the first interview. It's by phone. I did it at KPFT this morning with Hetzfeld, Tanisha Hetzfeld, who is our county clerk. There's an election here in Harris County that needs your vote. You need your vote. We need to elect the appropriate people for county clerk. So remember the names Odelke, Noriega, and Daniel. Remember those names. And the reason why, folks, is what they want to do in Harris County is starve the beast. You know what that means. Anyway, let's go ahead and do that interview, and then we'll take it from on the other side. We have a very special guest. Her name is Tanisha Hetzfeld. Tanisha is the Harris County clerk. She will be with us discussing the Houston, the HCAD elections that we're having currently and a few others. So I think if we can go ahead and start out and bring Tanisha in, I believe she has several interviews that she has to get done today. So we have to get started right away. Good morning, Tanisha. How are you doing today?
Good morning. Doing just fine. Thank you for a little bit of time to talk about a very important election. And it's great to hear your voice, Alberto.
Great to hear you. Now, please let me know what because this is an election not a lot of people know about. We don't hear it advertised a whole lot, but it's a very, very important election. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
That's right. So the May 4th election is a uniform election that typically takes place in non or even years. In this case, there is a special election and a countywide election for Harris County. For those who live in Senate District 15, our now Mayor John Whitmire was the former senator for, I believe, somewhere 30 plus to 40 years. And now that he's the mayor, it leaves the seat vacant. So there are two candidates vying to fill the vacancy of John Whitmire's old seat in Senate District 15. That is Jarvis Johnson and Molly Cook. May 4th is Election Day. We have 2 days of early voting left. So today, April 29th, and tomorrow, April 30th, voters can vote from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. at 25 different early voting locations. Yes, 25 different early voting locations are where voters can vote. And also, there is a countywide election. So no matter where you are in the city of Houston, if you're not in Senate District 15, which about 21% of voters are, the entire county has the Harris County Central Appraisal District election to cast their ballot in. And that is for a this is the first time this election has ever happened across the state of Texas. There are appraisal district elections happening. There are three board members in which Harris County voters will decide who will represent them on the Harris County Appraisal District Board. That's three different positions, three board members. And again, this is all happening May 4th. Harris County is conducting elections for HCAD and SD 15 only, but there are some jurisdictions who are doing small city, mayoral, and school elections. So 2 more days to early vote. I always encourage early voting as I am headed on a full day. The weather is a little doom and gloom. It's a lot of rain. And, you never know what you're going to get before you get to Election Day, May 4th. But if you vote on Election Day, May 4th, which is a Saturday for this election, you will have 151 vote centers to select any one of those to vote anywhere.
We have a very special guest. Her name is Tanisha Hudspeth. Tanisha is the Harris County Clerk. She will be with us discussing the Houston. We have a very special guest. Her name is Tanisha Hudspeth. Tanisha is the Harris County Clerk. She will be with us discussing the Houston, the HCAD elections that we're having currently and a few others. So I think if we can go ahead and start out and bring Tanisha in, I believe she has several interviews that she has to get done today. So we have to get started right away. Good morning, Tanisha. How are you doing today?
Good morning. Doing just fine. Thank you for a little bit of time to talk about a very important election. And it's great to hear your voice, Alberto.
Great to hear you. Now, please let me know what because this is an election not a lot of people know about. We don't hear it advertised a whole lot, but it's a very, very important election. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
That's right. So there, the May 4th election is a uniform election that typically takes place in non or even years. In this case, there is a special election and a countywide election for Harris County. For those who live in Senate District 15, our now Mayor John Whitmire was the former senator for, I believe, somewhere 30 plus to 40 years. And now that he's the mayor, it leaves the seat vacant. So there are two candidates vying to fill the vacancy of John Whitmire's old seat in Senate District 15. That is Jarvis Johnson and Molly Cook. May 4th is Election Day. We have 2 days of early voting left. So today, April 29th, and tomorrow, April 30th, voters can vote from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. at 25 different early voting locations. Yes, 25 different early voting locations are where voters can vote. And also, there is a countywide election. So no matter where you are in the city of Houston, if you're not in Senate District 15, which about 21% of voters are, the entire county has the Harris County Central Appraisal District election to cast their ballot in. And that is for a newly, this is the first time this election has ever happened across the state of Texas. There are appraisal district elections happening. There are three board members in which Harris County voters will decide who will represent them on the Harris County Appraisal District Board. That's three different positions, three board members. And again, this is all happening May 4th. Harris County is conducting elections for HCAD and SD 15 only, but there are some jurisdictions who are doing small city, mayoral, and school elections. So two more days to early vote. I always encourage early voting as I am headed on a full day. The weather is a little doom and gloom. It's a lot of rain. And, you know, you never know what you're going to get before you get to Election Day, May 4th. But if you vote on Election Day, May 4th, which is a Saturday for this election, you will have 151 vote centers to select any one of those to vote anywhere on Election Day. So we encourage voters to go to harrisvotes.com, pull your sample ballot. If you're in Harris County, you'll have HCAD. If you're in SD 15, you'll have that race. Look and find your closest vote center. You can go on Harris Votes and get a copy of your sample ballot and take that sample ballot into the poll with you.
Ms. Hudspeth, do you have 2 minutes? I have two specific questions if you have the time.
I have a little time. Yes, let's do it.
Okay, great. First question is this. Why is it that after we had people vote for, you know, a large election, that we went ahead and have this small election when we could have done all of this in one at one time, one place, and not have the our citizenry having to do this again? Could you explain? I mean, first of all, I know you don't have control over that. Can you explain why?
Yes, that's a very good question, because most logical people will ask, why are we going twice to vote in the month of May? This year, which is a presidential year and even year, we had primary elections. Texas election code states that primary elections can only be primary elections. There cannot be any other entities to join a primary election. And that is the same for a primary runoff. So it would have to be a legislative change and a change to the election code that would allow other entities. And when I say other entities, other contests, other race, other jurisdictions, to be able to allow for other races to be on that ballot. And so in this case, you know, SD 15 special election, which is different from the Senate district election that will replace the long-term seat of former mayor John Whitmire. Well, I'm sorry, current mayor, former Senator John Whitmire. So just a little bit of education on this piece is Saturday, individuals for Senate District 15 will fill the vacancy immediately because right now SD 15 doesn't have representation. That person will fill the vacancy between immediately following May 4th until December 31st of 2024. On May 28th, voters will again vote in that same Senate district race for either Jarvis Johnson or Molly Cook to fill the long-term seat, which means their term will start January of 2025, like everyone else who goes through the November ballot, through a two-year term. So I know it's very confusing. Some people call it two-step, you know, vote twice in the month of May. For HCAT, it's just that one day. It is a special election. That is when the governor and the state of Texas has deemed this election will take place. And there is typically always uniform elections May 4th. But the reason why they can't be combined is because it has to be a legislative change. Primary elections are set only to have that race indicated in even years. So I hope that provides a little bit of clarity as we move along and better understand elections. So I know voters might have a little bit voter fatigue, but we encourage you to go vote twice. Early voting again ends tomorrow for May 4th. May 4th is election day. And then shortly after we have primary runoffs, where early voting is the end of May and election day is May 28th.
Given that you serve the entire county, irrespective of party, I won't mention this, but I have an answer, another answer that I want to add to what you said, why we have these sort of ridiculous elections. But I want to give you a commendation of the great work that you have done in marshaling these elections, even with the complexities that you had to follow from the state, some of them that made absolutely no sense. Specifically, also like to give you the kudos for making sure things ran efficiently by combining, doing some combination of the electoral in the electoral machines, etc., at all these different polling stations. That was great, ingenious work, which you saved the county quite a few dollars. Very good work on your part. Now, please
thank
let us.
You. I have an incredible team who works around the clock to make sure elections are efficient and run very well.
And in as much as the state is running our elections in an inefficient manner, we have a Harris County clerk who has made lemonade out of lemons. Now, let's ask about HCAD.
Indeed.
Let's ask about HCAD now. Tell the people the importance of this race. I have some political statements I want to make after you leave, but tell them specifically why HCAD is important.
Yes, as I mentioned earlier, in the last legislative session, lawmakers decided or passed a law that the appraisal districts across our state of Texas would have elections for the very first time. In the past, any board members of the appraisal district were all appointed members. Some of those include our tax assessor collector, who's an elected official. But the appraisal district is very important for many reasons. When you get that mailer in the mail from the tax office or the appraisal district, they set the tax rate for our property. You own property, you plan to own property, you live in Harris County. This election is extremely important. And oftentimes, when we have elections of this nature, especially on a Saturday, those elections can go overlooked, right? And can go misunderstood. And so that's part of the reason why I'm on here today. I'm so glad you all are having me here to express the importance of this. Now, while these three board members that will be elected will not set tax rates in particular, their work will be very important. They will approve and help to set budgets. That's important if you're a taxpayer here in Harris County. They will do very important work, and their terms will begin immediately July of this year through 2026. And so, again, first time ever election, there are three different board members that voters will select to represent them on the Harris County Appraisal District. And there are quite a few individuals vying for those races. I encourage all voters, if you want to know a little bit more about these individuals that are running, because the Harris Votes will only show you a sample ballot, I encourage voters to go to League of Women Voters Houston or Google lwvhouston.org. The League of Women Voters produces a voter guide, and I believe majority of those candidates have provided a statement or their background for voters to do a little research or homework before they go cast their ballot in this election. Again, the League of Women Voters is a good nonpartisan resource that can allow voters to take a look at who is on the ballot, what their platforms are, and why they should be selected for the office. So we can go. I'm glad that you're going to touch the political point, Alberto. You're right. I can't do that. But it is really important to know that local elections like this meet you at your doorstep. I know President, U.S. Senator, those races are the races that get a lot of attention. But it is so important that we pay attention to our local races, school board, HCAD, you know, Senate districts, because those are the individuals you will likely call for a service or call to understand how they're better serving you.
Ms. Hudspeth, last question that I always ask, what would you have liked me to ask you that I didn't?
Yes. I would say the only and final last thing is to make sure that you go to harrisvotes.com if you are in Harris County. I don't know that you asked me that, but I always like to encourage folks to go there, look at your sample ballot, and find the vote center closest to you. Again, today and tomorrow is the last days of early voting from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. 25 locations. May 4th is Election Day, 151 vote centers to choose from. Make a plan to vote, not just on May 4th, but May 28th as well. And we look forward to seeing you at the polls. Elections like this tend to have low voter turnout. And one thing I know for sure is when you miss your opportunity to cast the ballot, you're allowing others to make the decision for you. So harrisvotes.com, I'm Tanisha Hudspeth. I appreciate this opportunity to share this morning, and we'll see you at the polls.
Ms. Tanisha Hudspeth, Harris County Clerk, thank you so kindly for having been on U-Talk, Steve Hunter's U-Talk. Thank you so kindly.
Thank you.
Yep, this morning, Steve played hooky, so I actually did 2 hours, my show at 6 and his show at 8. But anyway, folks, that chart that El Señor Rodden put up there, that's very, very revealing as far as what's going up. And let me just say that if you take a look at, if you go into the what people like to call the third world, right? And you go all into the mountains where people have little subdivisions and little homes, etc. They're all populated with solar photovoltaic cells. You know, I follow a TikToker in Jamaica. She has a lot of Airbnb places up in the Blue Hills, etc. And you know what? All her places are completely electrified with batteries and photovoltaic cells. By exactly right. So I can see that. I can see that the rest of the world, they realize that it's the most efficient thing to do to have solar plus battery plus wind, all those things combined in many environments throughout Africa, Asia, etc. You know, very smart thing to do. We continue to pollute. We continue to do these things. Maybe some are going to say, but look, China pollutes a lot more than we do. Yeah, but per capita, they don't. Remember, China has 4 or 5 times the populations that we have. So come on now. And we did a lot of damage during the Industrial Revolution, etc. With regards to student loan, thank you for bringing that up, El Señor Paul Fleming. Yeah, Biden has only gotten about 10% thus far. But remember what happened. First of all, we wanted complete an entire forgiveness of student loan. We think the model for educated for college education is flawed. We think that we attempted a capitalist model for education, and what we did with the capitalist model is destroyed a whole lot of people's lives. Even if you say, well, they took out the loans, I don't care how you put it, our model destroyed lives. I paid all of my student loans back with my own money. So I'm not saying that from a position that wants somebody to do something for me. I don't mind that I paid my student loan, that others should get forgiveness. Because again, the model is flawed. We need to look at Germany, Argentina, Brazil, and all these other countries that they take care of your secondary education. Even my country, Panama, third world, right? But you get your college education just like it is for high school, etc. You do that. First of all, inflation rates don't get that high because people don't have to earn all this money to pay back loans. You know, I recall a story from a Mexican TikTok that said, "Wow, you guys make 10 times what I make, but you pay more than 10 times what I gotta pay. Insurance is cheaper. $2 buys me a full meal. It takes you $20 to buy a full meal." You know, so we got to get smart. We got to get smart. Now, El Señor Rudnin, Biden, first of all, I didn't like that Biden was only doing about, I don't know, how much did, I think Paul had it there. I think Biden's original plan forgave $430 billion, which was still only a third of student loans. The Progressive Caucus wanted it all gone, right? We didn't get it. We compromised with Biden to get that. Now, Biden is still committed to the student loans, but he has to do it in a different way. As opposed to having it done all at once, what he does is he finds different quirks in the law. In other words, you can for anybody owning an instrument, a federal debt instrument, if these conditions apply, the executives has the power to forgive it, all right, or to defer it, and defer could mean a permanent deferral, right? So there are little techniques that the president can use to get around the evil that is the Supreme Court and the Republican Party as they try to continue to maintain the status quo, a capitalist education system that serves just a few. So again, that is the answer, my dear brother. Carl Cox is in the house from Carl, why do I always forget where you're from? Georgia. We also have Paul Fleming. Well, I said Paul Fleming already, but I saw Lee Grant come into the house from Montgomery County. Thank you guys for all being here. What else have we got here? What else have we got here that needs to be mentioned? All right. I got another piece that I want to play. This is Bernie Sanders, one of our Jewish senators. I would listen to him more than I'd listen to anybody on the right when we start talking about the protests and anti-Semitism. Let's go ahead and hear a listen, then we'll take it on the other side. Netanyahu seems to believe that he controls the United States government and with that, the people in the United States, and that if they somehow go against him, he has the right to rebuke them. Recently, he called all the people protesting what's going on in Gaza anti-Semitic. This war criminal murdering people in Gaza to the order of over 35,000 people has the nerve to complain about Americans who have humanity in seeing that no leader should be ethnic cleansing as Netanyahu is doing. It is uncalled for, is horrendous, and it's a disrespect to the people whose tax dollars are being used to fund this guy's murder of Palestinians. Now, here's the thing. Bernie Sanders, who has the right to talk about these issues in more detail than most of us, because again, Bernie Sanders is a Jewish senator, a senator of Jewish descent, who has relatives that died in the Holocaust. He has a right to talk about this issue. And when a Bernie Sanders come one step beyond or one step before calling what Netanyahu is doing a genocide by calling it ethnic cleansing, which pretty much is one of the forms of genocide, he calls it out definitively in this piece today. Listen to this, then we'll take it on the other side.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said this week that college protests in the U.S. are being led by, quote, anti-Semitic mobs. You responded by accusing him of, quote, attempting to distract us from the immoral and illegal war policies of your extremist and racist government. And you said, quote, it is not anti-Semitic to hold you accountable for your actions. Senator, can't both things be true? There are legitimate criticisms of the Netanyahu government, but some of these protests have also clearly tapped into a deep undercurrent of anti-Semitism.
Donna, anti-Semitism is a vile and disgusting ideology which has resulted in the deaths of many, many millions of people in the last 100 years. And we've got to oppose it in every form. And do I doubt for a moment that anti-Semitism exists and is growing in the United States, that is part, that exists among some people in the protest movement? Of course. But here is the reality. Right now, what Netanyahu's right-wing, extremist, and racist government is doing is unprecedented in the modern history of warfare. They have killed, in the last 6.5 months, 33,000 Palestinians, wounded 77,000, two-thirds of whom are women and children. They have destroyed over 60% of the housing. They have destroyed the healthcare system. They have destroyed the infrastructure, no electricity, very little water. And right now, we are looking at the possibility of mass starvation and famine in Gaza. When you make those charges, that is not anti-Semitic. That is a reality. So our job is to condemn Hamas, a terrorist organization that started this war, condemn in every form anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, and other forms of bigotry. But we do have to pay attention to the disastrous and unprecedented humanitarian disaster taking place in Gaza right now. Netanyahu is trying to do, very clearly, is to say, anybody who criticizes what Israel is doing, you are anti-Semitic. Well, are there some anti-Semites? Yeah. But what I'm saying is, if you look at the polling, the vast majority of the American people are disgusted with Netanyahu's war machine in Gaza, and they do not want further U.S. military aid to his government.
I've gotten texts from students, one in Michigan in particular, who said that he has to take his Jewish star off because people aren't asking him about his view on Israel, which is might be just like yours.
All right. I'm Jewish. Mm-hmm. All right. My father's family was wiped out by Hitler. Anti-Semitism is disgusting and vile form of bigotry, which has killed millions of people. Mm-hmm. I would hope that every American condemns anti-Semitism. We condemn Islamophobia and all forms of bigotry from what he is doing in Gaza right now, which is, in terms of humanitarian disaster, unprecedented in modern American history. 5% in 6.5 months, 5% of the population has been killed or wounded, two-thirds of whom are women and children. And Netanyahu has got to be held accountable for those actions.
Senator, I do want to ask you about something that your friend and colleague, Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, said when she visited Columbia this week, and she supported the protests.
All Jewish kids should be kept safe, and that we should not have to tolerate anti-Semitism or bigotry for all Jewish students, whether they are pro-genocide or anti-genocide.
Well, I don't know exactly. Look, what I think the essential point that Ilhan made is that we do not want to see anti-Semitism in this country. And I think the word genocide is something that is being determined by the International Court of Justice. But this is what I will say. I don't think there's any doubt that what Netanyahu is doing now, displacing 80% of the population in Gaza, is ethnic cleansing. That's what it is, pushing out huge numbers of people. And now we're looking at the possibility of an attack on Rafah, where people have gone for so-called as a safety zone. So what's going on there, again, to my mind, is outrageous. And as you've indicated, I strongly oppose U.S. funding for Netanyahu's war machine.
Okay. One last question. I know that you said that to President Biden, that you were very concerned about the U.S. continuing to send aid and weaponry to Israel. What was his response?
I'm not going to talk about the personal conversations I have with the president, but I just would say that I think I and a majority of the American people do not want to be complicit in the humanitarian disaster that Netanyahu is causing in Gaza right now.
Look, Bernie Sanders nails it. Our students who are protesting against what Netanyahu is doing in Gaza, I mean, I'm talking about our regular Christian students, Jewish students, Muslim students, they're all working together. They are working together against that murderer in Israel. And Netanyahu thinks he has the right to tell our kids about their morality when what they are doing is the humane thing? Come on, folks, wake up. Your eyes are not deceiving you. The comparison between Gaza and Tel Aviv is not an illusion. You see systematic destruction of one place. As he said, well, they're sending rockets at us. They're doing bad things. But remember, this is a conflict from the inception of the state of Israel that has always had several sides. But Netanyahu, the ones who supported with our bombs, want to bully himself to simply, you know, it's amazing how we have, whenever you're pointing a finger, how many are pointing back. He loves to talk about whenever Rashida Tlaib talks about from the river to the sea, which what she means is we all used to live in harmony before. That's what it should be. But nope. When he says that, he means blowing the smithereens out of folks who are currently there and not giving them the opportunity to exist. That's Benjamin Netanyahu. That's Bibi Netanyahu. That's what we're talking about.
We spend a lot of time.
And the one thing that we better remember is that this river to the sea thing is actually codified in the Likud, party's initial constitution or initial, what do you call those papers? Their laws. I mean, it is amazing that the projection that comes from Netanyahu and his gang is just amazing. From the river to the sea is a statement within the Likud party as far as, in their opinion, having Israel go from the river to the sea. That is something in the Likud. That's in the bylaws of the Likud party. Look it up. It is amazing. All right. I have another one that I want to play because a lot of the information you're getting on mainstream media, they highlight all the bad things. You know, the provocateurs that are doing things on campus. Oh, they want you to see, but they don't tell you the truth about this protest. This isn't a Muslim versus or Palestinian versus Jew or versus Israeli. That's not it. In fact, there are a lot of Israelis, a lot of Jews that are part of our movement to have a ceasefire and to give dignity to Palestinians. I want you to listen to this, and then we will take it on the other side. But we cannot continue. We cannot continue to allow them to fool us, to allow them to mess with our minds, to let us believe that things aren't the way, like what, not what we're seeing. Check this out. For some time now, I've been talking about journalism. Two things about journalism. Our current form of journalism taught in school is no longer functional under the right-wing type of actions going on, not only in America, but throughout the world. When we try to keep a false balance, a false narrative, a false equivalence, which is what standard journalism sort of deals with. He said this, she said that, this person says this, X person says that. Without any context, what happens is those who are willing to blatantly lie generally are the ones who modify public opinion. And the same thing is occurring with the student protests that's going on throughout the country. It is being completely misreported. It is being undermined by the movement is being undermined by good reporting, in as much as it is a benevolent movement for peace. But you know, every so often you find some reporters that are bold, that don't follow the status quo. And that's why I have a whole lot of respect for Joanne Reed. She takes a lot of flack, but she is using the platform she has on her network and privately, not to sugarcoat what's going on, but to tell it like it is. And it upsets quite a few people. But again, she calls a ball, a strike. And she brought in Antonia Hilton, who was on the ground at Columbia and other places. And she tells some truths about what the protest is all about. I brought in Mark Thompson a few days ago, who was also on campus at Columbia, to tell Americans the truth, not the fallacy about a whole lot of crazy left-wing students that are anti-Semitic and blindly supporting Palestine or Gaza. That's not the case. People understand that Hamas are terrorists, but people as well understand that Netanyahu himself is no better than these terrorists. And in fact, he has done much more harm to humanity than these. It's sad, but the numbers tell it, right? So we have to have good journalists out there. We have to have bold journalists that respect the intelligence of the American people so that they can inform appropriately, and where they must say this particular side is simply wrong, this particular side is simply lying, and as such we can't say he said, she said, but that this one is telling the truth and this one is lying. I want you to listen to this conversation between Joanne Reed and Antonia Hilton about the protest that's going on right now on several campuses around the entire country. Check this out. We'll take it on the other side.
A wave of nationwide student activism is meeting an increasingly hostile, over-the-top police presence that's starting to feel kind of like hysteria. More than 400 demonstrators have been taken into police custody in just the last 8 days, including 57 people in a particularly violent scene at the University of Texas at Austin, 108 at Emerson College in Boston, and 93 at the University of Southern California. At Columbia University, which saw the first wave of student suspensions and arrests, kicking off the nationwide movement. Student organizers are now saying that negotiations with the university have resumed after a 30-hour pause. Joining me now is NBC News correspondent Antonia Hilton, who was at Columbia University today as demonstrations entered their eighth day. Antonia, you've been doing fantastic reporting, so I just want you to say more. Tell me what you're seeing.
Well, what I'm seeing is a campus that is extremely tense right now.
And the core of this is what they're seeing in Gaza. They're seeing it on social media. They're seeing it with their own eyes. They're upset about it. But the protests have been peaceful, right? Because the demonization of these kids is that they, the encampment kid, the encampment students, I didn't call them kids, are the ones doing anti-Semitic things and screaming anti-Semitic things. Are they?
Let me clear this up. So this is not a black and white, us versus them, very easy story. This is a story where when you go visit the encampments, you see significant numbers of Jewish students, visibly Jewish students, taking part in pro-Palestinian protests, holding a Seder. They are advocating for Palestinians and for divestment and a ceasefire. Right now on the campus, there is a group of Christian nationalist associated pastors, people who are associated with organizations that believe only Christians should hold any political office in the United States, who are advocating for Israel. There are Arab Israelis that I have met who are advocating for Israel. So this is a situation where it's not very easy to figure out just who is to blame, who is on what side here. But what I can tell you is I have been going to this campus pretty much every day since last week, since all this started. And I have yet to meet a student who was engaged in the kind of anti-Semitic threats that we have seen online. That is not to say they're not existent. I have seen it. There's a guy out on Broadway right now.
Not on the campus, on
Broadway, holding an incredibly anti-Semitic sign, but he's not a student. I have not been able to find a student's name and attach them to one of these incidents. And that's why I've urged reporters to be very careful, because this is not a story of Jewish versus Muslim students or black versus white students, because so often people frame it that way.
Yep.
This is a story where if you're going to go to this campus and cover it, you need to understand who you are talking to. What organizations are they associated with? And what do they really believe before you broadcast, say, 10 seconds of images or photos that you've taken? Make it very clear the context and the story that you are telling. Because when you actually talk to students, what they tell me is they are a very different generation. They are seeing images of children dying on their phones. They are horrified. There are kids who are political science majors and have studied this for years.
Yeah.
And the kids who are getting into this just in the last few days because of what they've seen transpire around the country.
This is why I love a real journalist. Antonia Hilton, you are actually there doing the work. This is what we need journalism to do. Don't just make up stuff to bully these kids based on what you think. Go down there and report, or rely on an actual reporter. Antonia Hilton, thank you, my sister. Well done.
I hope you got that. One would have you believe that somehow these protesters are anti-Semitic. Most of these protesters are like any other protest, the protest that I participated back in the 80s at the University of Texas for the divestiture of our university from South Africa's apartheid. I mean, this is standard operating procedure in good protest movements. Luckily, Antonia Hilton told a very important truth. The people that are in those encampments are not just Arabs or Muslims. They're Jewish people that are a part of the movement. A lot of my friends that are encouraging me to do what I do are my Jewish friends that are saying, yes, Netanyahu is putting the cause behind. He's creating the animus that we see against many a Jewish brothers and sisters right now. So let's be clear. Let's be very, very clear. The misreporting must stop. We must have a ceasefire. We must build the pressure towards forcing our president to stop being a stooge of Netanyahu. I know some people may be saying that he's playing a different game behind the scenes, but what we as Americans see is Netanyahu running our countries in many ways. When we talk about unfettered access to our bombs, unfettered access to our military equipment with no strings attached that says you cannot kill in the name of the United States of America.
We spend a lot of time.
You cannot kill in the name of the United States of America. Yes, Yvette, I thought she broke it down perfectly. Ms. Hilton broke it down perfectly. Let's see, Lee Grant, I don't know about value signaling in lieu of ambulances. No, that's not true. Let's see, Babylon B, conservative satire. Oh, what you think? I don't know. I've got to see it before I can think, right? No, can't put that one up because of the flag. The YouTube AI would jump on me if I put that up. Some people get away with it. I won't take a chance. Anyhow, let's see what else we got here. What else have we got here? All right, I got one more to play for you, and this one has to do with property taxes again. And I brought that up because I had Ms. Hutzfeld on, and since she's talking about the election in HCAD, I did this one. Anyway, check this out, and then we'll take it on the other side. We have a state governed by a sect who use all kinds of tactics to get their way, to reduce voter turnout, etc., so that they can control your lives. They can make sure that only the few gets the necessary services from the state, and I'll explain. We started with this discussion on the local Harris County Appraisal District race. It's important to understand what's being done here by your government. Think about this. We just got a tax break, folks. The last session in Congress. Did you see what happened to your property tax rate? It went down a little bit. You know, if you had a big house, the bigger your house, the more you saved. The bigger the house, the more you saved. So it looked like a tax cut. It was a great thing. But for most of the average Texan, they save a little bit of money. But the cost, what it cost the Texans for that little bit of property tax saving was a lot. A lot to our school districts, a lot to these other places. But the wealthy who own the mega mansions got a humongous property tax cut. You know, they always use the middle class and the poor and the working class to further enrich the few. I'm going to tell a little story. And I don't remember which constitutional amendment it was. But all of us Texans had the opportunity to vote people into office who could take back some of the monies that were taken from all of us by a select few. You know, there are folks who have built their wealth on the free money given by our state, whether it is those who got free monies to build toll roads, whether those who are pulling out the oil out of our grounds, the minerals out of our public lands that they get to use free of charge, right? So there is this thing called tax, a small tax on wealth that we could debate, we could talk about. There's a lot we could do to figure out how best to give the services needed by our state, by our country. So one of the things that would have made sense is that the wealthy don't make income because of the way we've defined income. The wealthy tries to make as little income as possible. They try to make all their wealth in different forms, whether it is stock appreciation, whether it is using insurance to borrow from so that they pay no taxes. Yeah, that's a thing, man. You have a lot of money, you buy an insurance policy and you borrow from that insurance policy. You got money tax free, baby. Most of us don't know of all these techniques used by the wealthy so that their wealth is really their income. But because it's not defined as income, it is not taxed. So an amendment came out. People are getting smart. And your government in Austin, your government in Washington, they know that people are getting smart and they're going to find out, hey, why is it that I have a home and I pay property taxes on the home? A home is an asset no different than a stock. You made an investment in your home with the expectation that it would appreciate. But you know what? Check out what's happening to some homes right now. They also can fall in value. So your car is an investment in an asset. Your home is an investment in an asset. There are a lot of things that you pay property taxes on right now. That's an asset, just like a stock is an asset. But we have done some magical things to keep the wealthy wealthy. And what do? We say, oh, the stock, we only pay taxes on it if you sell it and it increased in value from what you sold. And then even then, we charge you a smaller tax rate than the guy who works their hands, the guy who works a factory, the guys who get an income. But even worse, while the average economy grows at, let's say, 2-3%, the stock market grows at 7%. This is an unsustainable formula. And you know how we know it? Because you are worth less and less in the aggregate every single year. Every single year. Every single year, the wealth disparity grows. And we just voted. We Texans just voted to say we are not going to allow the legislature to pass any laws that will somehow possibly tax wealth. I want you guys to think about that, folks. But you know, most people didn't know what they were voting for, because if you read the rule, you think it applied to you and you don't really want to be taxed anymore. So what we did is we made a constitution. We supported a constitutional amendment in Texas that said we won't tax wealth. But you know what we did not say? We can still tax your property. We can still tax your home. We can still tax your car, because all of us own homes, or a lot of us own homes. A lot of us own cars. So we'll pay a property tax on that home or that car every single year. But you got stocks. As long as you hold on to those stocks, no problem, no taxes. And if you need money, just go ahead and have those stocks held by an insurance company, and that insurance company would loan you some money backed by your stock, and you pay no taxes, baby. Folks, the reason why we tolerate what we tolerate is because very few know all these concepts. Now, we talk about HCAD. Our county clerk, Harris County Clerk, Tanisha Hudspeth, she's doing the best she can to tell folks to vote. Why do you better vote in HCAD? Because the next thing that they're going to do is they're going to make you believe that, we're going to start passing different kinds of laws with regards to property taxes. Watch them reduce property taxes. Watch them put a cap on property taxes, likely after a property reaches a certain value. Maybe we pay less. I mean, they can do as they please if they have your mind. And if you are not engaged locally in your elections, if you are not engaged to understand what's going on, then you pay like we always pay. That is why, as Tanisha said, as Ms. Hudspeth said, these elections are so important, because it starts at local control and it moves up to state control. Then it moves on to federal control. And if we keep believing the crap that we hear about taxes and all these other issues, we will constantly be left at a disadvantage.
We spend a lot of time deconstructing the news, trying to parse it into a form that everybody can understand. We try to find those little nitpicks where it flies above the fray, etc. If you really like these videos that we do, I want to ask a big favor. Please go ahead. Number one, subscribe to our channel. And number two, please join if you can. Thank you so kindly for watching. Keep watching. Please remember to share. We must populate the entire internet with our progressive message, a message that we know is what most Americans say that they want. So help us, please join.
Absolutely so, folks. Absolutely join. Actually, a home is actually no different an investment than a stock, other than you can buy insure. Well, you can even buy insurance. Look, you can buy an insurance and a stock. You can do all the same things you do with a home, because guess what? A home is an investment. A home is an investment. There's no different. You were indoctrinated into believing that this kind of investment should have these laws applied to it, and this other kind of investment should have these laws applied to it. The only reason that is there is that this side of the investment had more lobbyists than this side of the investment. A home investment is no different than stocks. The only difference is that we, the people, all own homes, so they figure they can milk us as opposed to milking all, and I repeat, all assets. Folks, that is what indoctrination does to us. It gives us a false belief that just because it's been like this for a long time, that somehow it made sense. When you sell a home for more than you bought it, it's called capital gains. And the same kind of capital gains that occur on a house occur on stocks. If you sell a home at a loss, you actually get a capital loss, and you can actually take a deduction on your taxes, just as you can for stocks. Do not believe the fallacies that somehow one sort of asset is different than another form of asset. It is false. It is indoctrination to take the money away from the middle class, the working class, the poor. Most of the assets in this form of stocks are controlled by the wealthy. When it comes to homes, everybody has homes. It is simply ridiculous for us not to realize that the same things that apply to a home should apply to stocks. And if we were to start taxing assets, all assets, our entire thing would fall. Our entire taxes would fall. Anyway, folks, I got to get out of here. Please support the program. How can you support the program? Please become a member via Patreon. If you become one of our patrons, you can get access to all of my books, all five of them. And guess what I did this weekend? I finished doing the audiobook for my latest book, which is Tribulations of an Afro-Caribbean Latino Man. I finally got through with the audiobook. I submitted it for review, and that should be going pretty soon. So, hey, that is going to be great. Anyway, folks, so please remember, go to politicsdoneright.com/Patreon. politicsdoneright.com/Patreon. If you want to find out the all-encompassing different manners in which you can support us, you can find that at politicsdoneright.com/support. politicsdoneright.com/support. Now, you can. We need more subscribers to our newsletter. I need about 1,000 subscribers. We only have about, I think we're up to now 78. Please consider supporting us by our newsletter. Go to politicsdoneright.com/newsletter. It's a coffee. It's a coffee. And a coffee to do good work. So please consider becoming a member, and we will be able to get that done. Let's see what we got here. One quick call first. All right, this is Politics Done Right about to close down, but who do I have the honor of speaking with? Hello? Hello, I don't hear you. Okay, if you can hear me, I can't hear you, so I will hang up at this point in time. All right. Anyway, folks, so as I'm saying now, folks, please go ahead and support the program, politicsdoneright.com/newsletter, politicsdoneright.com/newsletter. Go ahead and click that. Remember, it's inexpensive. Last but not least, support us by going to our books, politicsdoneright.com/books. Anyway, folks, got to get out of here. My name is Egberto Willis. This is Politics Done Right, and you guys know how I end this baby. I am what? Out!
We spend a lot of time deconstructing the news, trying to parse it into a form that everybody can understand. We try to find those little nitpicks where it flies above the fray, etc. If you really like these videos that we do, I want to ask a big favor. Please go ahead, number one, subscribe to our channel, and number two, please join if you can. Thank you so kindly for watching. Keep watching. Please remember to share. We must populate the entire internet with our progressive message, a message that we know is what most Americans say that they want. So help us, please join.